Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. And today, we're looking at this Supreme Court case, Foremost McKesson, Inc. v. Provident Securities Co.
Mm-hmm.
It's a case that really still has ripple effects in the world of finance, and it's all about insider trading.
Right.
But with a little twist that might surprise you.
Yeah. You know, even seasoned legal professionals might raise an eyebrow at this one.
Exactly. So today we're going to unpack how it all went down, what the court decided, and of course, what it means for you.
Yeah, I think people will be surprised by this
one. Absolutely.
So Foremost McKesson is particularly fascinating because it really forces us to examine, you know, all these little nuances of Section 16B, the Securities Exchange Act.
Right.
And it's meant to prevent insider trading. But the specifics of this case really push the limits of how the rule is actually applied.
So let's set the stage a little bit. We need to go back to 1968.
Okay.
Provident Securities, a holding company, decided to liquidate.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up striking a deal with Foremost McKesson.
Okay.
Foremost McKesson agreed to buy most of Provident's assets.
Got it.
The deal involved cash, of course, but also convertible debentures.
Now, for anyone out there who might not be, you know, totally familiar with all the ins and outs of financial instruments, convertible debentures are basically bonds that can be converted into stock.
Interesting.
And this is where it gets really interesting. So the debentures that Provident got in this deal could be turned into more than 10% of Foremost McKesson's stock.
Whoa, okay.
And that's huge because that 10% figure is really important when you look at how Section 16B defines insider trading.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really key point. Anyone who's ever worked with securities law knows that Section 16B is all about preventing people with inside information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people with special knowledge about a company.
Right.
From using that knowledge to make a quick and unfair profit.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you're a director or an officer of a company, or you own more than 10% of the company's stock, which is what's called a beneficial owner,
right?
And then you buy and sell that stock within 6 months?
Yep.
Well, guess what?
You have to give back any profits you made.
That's right. You forfeit any profits. It's called the disgorgement rule, and it's meant to keep things fair.
Yeah, and the logic behind this is pretty straightforward. It's about maintaining a fair market. You know, insiders have access to information the public doesn't, so they could totally make a bunch of money by taking advantage of that knowledge.
Yeah.
So Section 16B levels the playing field. It's designed to make things fair.
Okay, so we've got the stage set with this 10% in Section 16B. Now, this is where the Foremost McKesson case gets really interesting. So Section 16B has this very specific exception written into it.
Yeah.
And it says that this rule, this disgorgement rule, doesn't apply if the person selling the stock wasn't a beneficial owner, meaning they didn't own more than 10% at the time that they purchased it.
Right.
And that right there, that is the loophole that Provident was really banking on.
So Provident, being as sharp as they were, decided, let's sell some of these debentures.
Okay.
And they did that within 6 months of getting them from Foremost McKesson.
Uh-huh.
Made a pretty good profit doing that, which of course caught Foremost's attention.
As you might imagine.
And Foremost was not happy. They were like, hey, this is classic insider trading. We want our money back.
Right.
Straight up.
Yeah, that makes sense. But Provident had a pretty clever counterargument, didn't they?
They did. They were like, hold on a second. We didn't become a beneficial owner of Foremost McKesson's stock until after we bought the debentures.
Right.
The Section 16B shouldn't apply to us.
So they're basically saying at the time we bought them, we were outsiders technically.
Exactly.
Wow.
And get this, the lower courts actually agreed with Provident's interpretation of the law.
Wow.
And that's where things get really interesting. It becomes a real legal battle.
It's not just about the money at this point.
No.
It's about the meaning of the law.
It really comes down to the meaning of that phrase, at the time of purchase.
So this seemingly simple case about insider trading just blew up into this huge fight over the actual words of the law.
It did.
And it had big financial implications.
Of course.
Naturally, Foremost McKesson wasn't just going to give up.
Right.
They appealed, and this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
To the top.
So what happened? Did the highest court in the land side with this loophole, or did they say, hey, wait a minute, making a profit this fast, no matter when you officially became an insider, that's insider trading?
Well, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, actually sided with Provident.
Wow. So they said that this loophole was okay. What was their thinking there?
Well, it's really important to understand that the court's decision wasn't really about endorsing the loophole. It was more about interpreting the law as it was written and applying it consistently. You know, Justice Pearl, he wrote the majority opinion, and he really dove deep into the language of Section 16B, like every single word.
Okay.
They really focused on that key phrase, at the time of purchase, and they concluded that the rule was meant to target people who already had that insider information when they bought the stock.
Okay.
Not someone who might get that information later on.
So in Provident's case, they didn't technically become a beneficial owner until after they got those debentures.
Right.
So the court was basically saying they didn't have that insider knowledge at the beginning.
That's right. The court felt that if they held Provident liable in this specific situation, it would be like they were expanding the scope of the law beyond what Congress originally intended.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they were worried about setting a precedent that could potentially punish someone who, at the time of the purchase, was technically an outsider.
Interesting. Now, I know there was a dissenting opinion in this case, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What did the justices who disagreed with the majority have to say about all this?
So Justice Stevens wrote the dissenting opinion, and he basically argued that the majority's take on Section 16B was way too narrow. He felt like it created this loophole that could be exploited by savvy investors.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, his main concern was about preventing unfair profits from those quick turnaround trades,
right,
regardless of whether the person was officially an insider at the time of purchase or not.
So it sounds like this case really brought up some tough questions about fairness.
It did.
On one hand, you want to prevent people from using insider information to make a buck, and you want the markets to be fair for everyone.
Right.
But you also don't want to stop legitimate trading activity or punish people who weren't actually trying to do anything wrong.
It's a tough balance.
Exactly.
And Foremost McKesson is such a landmark case because it really puts that tension on full display.
Yeah.
And even now, all these years later, the debate about the best way to regulate insider trading is still going strong.
This might have happened decades ago, but it's obviously still something we're dealing with today.
Oh, absolutely.
Why should our listeners even care about this? How does it actually impact them in the real world?
Well, this isn't just some abstract legal theory. Foremost McKesson really did set a precedent that continues to influence how we understand and apply Section 16B.
Okay.
It's still shaping things today. The ruling gave us a pretty clear guideline for companies and investors.
Right.
It essentially says that if you become a beneficial owner, like we talked about, through the actual purchase that you later sell well, you're probably in the clear as long as you didn't have any inside information beforehand.
So it's almost like a protection for certain kinds of stock trades.
Yeah, in a way.
But does that mean anyone could just come in to make a quick profit and then claim they weren't technically an insider at the beginning?
No, not quite. It's really important to remember that Foremost McKesson doesn't give anyone a free pass to do shady or illegal stuff when it comes to trading.
Right.
If you have material, non-public information when you buy stock, you can absolutely still be on the hook for insider trading.
Okay.
They will come after you.
So what exactly counts as material non-public information?
Right.
That seems like a pretty crucial distinction to make.
That's a fantastic question. And honestly, it's something that's still debated in legal circles all the time.
Okay.
But generally speaking, we're talking about information that any reasonable investor would think is important when they're deciding whether to buy or sell stock.
So we're talking about stuff that could really affect the price of the stock, right?
Exactly. And non-public means just that, that information hasn't been released to the public.
Right.
It's only known by a small group of people.
Okay, so there's a lot of nuance to this whole thing.
Yeah.
Foremost McKesson shows us that even though the rule itself might seem straightforward, actually applying it in real-world situations can get really complicated.
Definitely.
The devil is in the details, as they say.
Exactly. And Foremost McKesson is a perfect example of how important it is to really understand what the law says.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we need to understand not just a letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law and what those lawmakers were actually trying to achieve.
Right.
You got to look at the big picture.
Well, this has been a fascinating look at Foremost McKesson. We talked about the loophole and how the Supreme Court decided the case and all the bigger questions it raises about insider trading.
Yeah, it's a big one.
But there's still more to talk about. In our final part, we'll dive into some more takeaways from this case and what it means for the future of insider trading law. All right, we're back for the final part of our deep dive into this Foremost McKesson case. And, you know, we've covered so much ground already, but what other insights can we really take away from this case? And what does it all mean for insider trading laws going forward?
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways from Foremost McKesson is that it shows just how crucial it is to be really precise with the language we use in law.
Mm-hmm.
The entire decision from the Supreme Court basically boiled down to how they interpreted that one little phrase, you know, at the time of purchase.
Right.
It seemed like a tiny detail, but it ended up having a massive impact on the outcome of the case.
Absolutely. It's a perfect example of how important it is for lawmakers to be incredibly careful when they're writing laws.
Yeah.
One word or even just a phrase can totally change how a law is understood and applied years or even decades later.
Exactly. And as we saw in Foremost McKesson, sometimes even rules that seem simple on the surface can end up having consequences that nobody expected.
Right.
It really reminds us that laws have to be adaptable and that courts often have to figure out how to apply them to situations that are increasingly complex.
So given all that, what does this mean for insider trading laws as they stand today?
Right.
Is that loophole that Provident used still open, or has Congress done something to close it?
Well, even though Foremost McKesson is still considered good law, things have definitely changed in the world of insider trading since 1976.
Yeah.
Congress has passed new laws, and the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, you know,
right.
they've put regulations in place that are specifically designed to crack down on insider trading.
So it's kind of like an ongoing battle then.
Yeah.
Lawmakers and regulators are always trying to stay one step ahead of people who are trying to get an unfair advantage in the market.
That's a great way to put it. And technology is a big factor in all of this.
Of course, yeah.
With high frequency trading and algorithmic trading and dark pools, all of that has made it much harder to even spot insider trading, let alone prosecute it.
So basically, it takes a lot of effort to keep the playing field level.
Definitely. It requires a lot of collaboration between regulators and lawmakers and even investors themselves.
Yeah.
We all have a role to play in making sure that the markets are fair and transparent.
So if we were to sum all of this up, you know, give our listeners some really practical advice based on what we've learned from Foremost McKesson, what would you say?
I'd say the biggest takeaway is that insider trading laws are really complicated and they're always changing. What might have been perfectly legal a few decades ago might be totally illegal today.
Right.
So it's super important to stay up to date on all the latest developments and to talk to a legal expert if you're ever unsure about whether something is legal or not.
That's great advice. And, you know, even if something is technically legal, it doesn't automatically mean it's the right thing to do. We should all be aiming to act with integrity and fairness when we're dealing with the market.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just about staying out of trouble. It's about creating a system that's equitable and works for everyone.
I couldn't agree more. You know, upholding those principles is what helps ensure a healthy market for everyone.
Well, this has been a really fascinating exploration of the Foremost McKesson case. We've broken down the loophole, how the Supreme Court ruled on it, and the bigger implications it has for insider trading laws.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one.
Hopefully this has been insightful for everyone listening and maybe even got you thinking about some of these issues a little differently.
I hope so. It's a case that definitely makes you think.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Foremost McKesson. Until next time, keep learning, keep asking those tough questions, and let's all work towards a better and fairer market for everyone.